Open in prayer for us, prayer for the word. She didn't know she was going to do that. So, but you've got to be ready in season, haven't you? In and out of season. Hallelujah. So, Monica, would you just pray for the word, please? Amen. Amen. Just a little bit of background, really, that Monica and I, well, she's still working, but I retired last January from 30 years in the ministry. So I just, or 30 plus years in the ministry. And it was really nice coming into a church knowing that you haven't got responsibility. Hallelujah. So this morning I just want to encourage you, encourage us all, that what we have this morning, and I don't know whether many Christians realize this, but we have an immense power. An immense power. And this morning I've entitled this, Enhancing the Power of God. And, you know, when you see, we've seen on the news with this massive explosion with the earthquake, you know, that's only a small portion of the power of God. And yet we have that power because he has given us the Holy Spirit. We have that power. And, you know, it just blows my mind when I think of the immense power that we have as Christians. And yet as Christians, we don't tap into that power. You know, you see the power of the sea, you know, and they enhance the power so that it could be used for electricity, and yet we have a power that we can tap into at any time, anywhere, for any situation. And it's amazing. And where I'm coming from this morning, if I just give you the word, the dictionary definition of enhance, and it might clarify. Intensify, magnify, amplify, inflate, strengthen, build up, supplement, augment, boost, upgrade, raise, lift, escalate, elevate, exalt. All of those words mean enhance. And so it's really, really exciting. Joshua 1:7-8 says, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall be not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in the day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. God has promised Joshua he could succeed in the most important activity in life. And the most important activity in life we have is serving God. That's the most important activity. People today also need reassurance that we can succeed in being right with God. People who are not Christians are sometimes overwhelmed by the sacrifice Christians must make to work, to do, habits to change. They become so discouraged that they don't even try to become Christians. And I'm so glad this morning that it's not down to the work, it's not down to change, it's not about, because it's Jesus who does the changing. It's Jesus who does the changing. And so before I became a Christian, I was a person that liked me drink. I was a person who liked to do all the things that the world says. But it wasn't a case of me giving up. It was a case of Jesus changing me. And it's Jesus that changes us so that we become... it's not a case of what have I got to give up. Because Jesus makes the changes, and because He loves us so much that we fall in love with Him, that we want to change for Him. And so it's not a case of what we have to give up or what we have to do. It's nothing to do with work. And these blessings that God's given us and promised in His Word, they're for everyone. They're for the lost as well as for the saved. The blessings are there for everyone. And but there are conditions. You know, the little word if, it has a great big connotation. And so there are conditions. And so if we want to tap into the power of God this morning, if we want to enhance, we can't make it any bigger because in that sense, but we can enhance the power of God within our own lives, there are conditions to it. What power does God make available? And 2 Timothy 3:15-17, and I won't go through it for time, but you can have the power to know and believe the truth. With so many different truths we see in politics, so many different truths we see within different religions, it's so good that this morning we have the power through the Holy Spirit with a revelation of truth through His Word this morning, that we have the power to know the truth, because the truth is what sets us free. And so I'm so glad this morning that we can tap into the Word. The Word, when John 1, the Word became flesh. When we read, we are seeing Jesus all the way through Scripture, from Revelation to Genesis. Getting all muddled up here. Genesis through to Revelation. Hallelujah. we can tap into that power. Some people get confused by the different teachings they hear. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I despair at some of the sort of teaching that we tend to get sometimes, the prosperity teaching, the Jesus-only teaching, the baptism to be saved teaching. All of these sort of weird and wonderful things come in. But I'm so glad this morning that when we turn to the Word is what brings us the truth. And we have the power to read the Word and understand the Word, because the Holy Spirit brings revelation to the Word. How many times this morning have you read through Scripture, and then one day you read that Scripture and suddenly it jumps out at you and it makes a world of difference? See, in 2 Timothy 3:15-17, the Scripture are inspired of God and able to make us wise to salvation. They are profitable to provide us for every working, for every good work. See, by human power, this morning, we could never be saved. With human power, we could never determine how to obtain eternal life. Through human endeavors, we would never understand the fullness of what God has got for us. It's by the revelation and tapping into that power that gives us the authority, gives us the ability to obtain eternal life. Not one of us can save each other. It's only God that saves. It's only Jesus on the cross that has given his all so that we can be saved. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that brings conviction that Jesus brings conversion. See, we have the power to become the child of God. And one of the things that I love about being a child of God is that I can make my mistakes, I can do things wrong as a child would do, but I can come before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and this morning just say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. And you know, he just says, okay, fine, I've forgotten it. It's not there anymore. He wipes the slate clean all the time. He's not like my wife who things I've done years ago, and then she brings remembrance, you know, to I've forgotten all about that, but she hasn't. But God forgets everything that we've done as soon as we come to that place of repentance. So this morning, every one of us has a new life, a new beginning, right from the very start. As soon as we accept Jesus into our life, we have a new beginning, a new start, which is a wonderful thing. And that's the power of God. John 1:12, Jesus gave us the right or the power to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, faith alone, without obedience, does not make one a child of God, but simply gives the power to become a child. And there's another scripture, I won't read it, but it's one, if you're taking notes, 1 Peter 1:22, 23, and Hebrews 7:25. You can have the power to resist every temptation. People in the world today, they don't have the same power to resist temptation. But we have a power to resist temptation. In James, it says, all we have, and I'm paraphrasing, all it says is we have to say no. We have the authority and the power to say no to temptation. It doesn't make us perfect by any stretch of the imagination. It just gives us a way forward to say no to temptation. And we have the power to resist every temptation. You know, people will excuse their sins by saying, well, it's just too hard. I'll make a New Year's resolution. I'll do things differently. But I just can't do it. That's what some people say. It comes on me and I can't do it. Well, church, this morning, we have the authority and the power to say no to temptation. It's a power that God gives us. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. This is the true of every temptation. We can be sure this true because it is based on God's faithfulness. What a wonderful portion of scripture. Again, if you're taking notes, Ephesians 6:10. We have the power to endure suffering and hardship. I remember talking to a young, he wasn't a young Christian. I was a young Christian at the time. And I read that in 2 Corinthians, and I read that we have the power to endure suffering and hardship. Now, nowhere in Scripture does it tell me that God is going to make life easy, unless anybody can tell me different. I've never read where God is going to make life easy. What he does say, he says, I'm with you always. I'm with you always. And he gives us the power to be able to suffer and go through hardship. When you consider Paul suffered the hardships he went through, you know, I just wonder if Paul came to church now, to Church Universal, what the church would make of him. But when you consider that Paul was stoned and then he walked 40 miles somewhere else to preach the gospel. He was battered and he's bruised and everything else, and then he walked from the place he was stoned to another place, and what did he do? He preached the gospel. Hallelujah. He preached the gospel. Romans 8:31-32. No suffering nor hardship of any kind is able to separate us from the love of God. Rather, we are more than conquerors. We can defeat them all if we are in, if we are on God's side. If we are on God's side. There are many people outside today who will not know that experience that we have. That experience of knowing that we are on God's side. And because we're on God's side, God is on our side. And I just love that. Discouragement can come. You know, when we try to help others, when we try to witness to people and we invite them to church and they say, yes, they're going to come, but they don't come. And we can get discouraged with other things happening. But I want to tell you, never be discouraged, because God has everything in hand. God has everything in hand. He knows exactly what he's doing. And I'm so glad, because if it's left to me, it would be a pig's ear. But with God, he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows the season you're in. He knows the season I'm in. He knows the season the church is in. And in that season, he's got his hand on everything. So be encouraged rather than discouraged, because God is with us. God is with us all the time. In 2 Timothy 2:2, faithful men shall be able to teach others. This is part of the power God promises us. If we stand on the promises God's given us, his promises will always be fulfilled. Whatever promise God has given you this morning, you might not feel that he's fulfilling that promise right now, but he's preparing to fulfill the promise. He's doing something for the promise to be fulfilled. We can have the power to do everything necessary to receive eternal life. Ephesians 3:20-21. God is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to his power that works, guess where? In us. His power that works in us. With that power, we have the ability to achieve anything he wants us to do. Who is stopping us doing what he wants us to do? It's us. I can't do that. I'm not capable. I haven't got the ability. I don't know. But I want to tell you this morning, with God, all things are possible for those that love him. All things are possible. In 1 Peter 1:3-5, by God's power we are guarded to an eternal and incorruptible inheritance in heaven. 2 Peter 1:3, his power grants us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Both Mon and I this morning could keep you hours of how God has looked after us in the ministry over the years, how he supplied our very needs. We didn't come into the ministry for money or the pension or anything like that. We came in to serve God. And God has looked after us over the 30 plus years that we've been in the ministry. He's never ever let us down. And so I can testify this morning that it's God who does the keeping. We just have to trust him. What methods does God provide his power? This power does us no good unless we know how to obtain it. As we study the methods God uses, note that all of them require effort on our part. Everything that God is teaching us, we have to put something in. If you don't put anything in, you don't get anything out. The power of Jesus' blood. 1 Corinthians 18:23-24, the power of God is the word of the cross, the message of Christ crucified. And then Hebrews 7:25-9:14, Jesus' sacrifice is able to save us to the uttermost. I love that, don't you? That Jesus is able to save us to the uttermost. In other words, we have got eternity. In other words, there is whatever degree that we try to walk with him, he will take us beyond, further than we can ever comprehend. He has saved us to the uttermost, and the uttermost is with him in glory. Hallelujah. There's power in the scriptures. There's power in God's love. You know, it's like if you can imagine the power of God. You've got a car, a lovely brand spanking new car with all of the gizmos, all of the gadgets, and all you want to do is you turn it on, but you go behind and start pushing it. Where's the car going to take you? You've turned on the power, but then you get behind the car and start to push it. Whereas what God wants you to do is get in the car, turn the key, and switch it on. He wants us this morning and every morning to switch on his power. We do that with prayer. We do that by reading scripture. We do that by helping others. We do that by witnessing. All the things that we read in scripture that we have to do. If we are prepared to do that, then God is prepared to take us beyond. He will give us more. He will take us further on. We can only be strong when we use what God provides to make us strong. And that's in Hebrews 12:14, Ephesians 4:16, Colossians 3:16, and Romans 5:14. There is power in the hope of eternal life. I am so glad that I don't have to live in fear of what's going to happen when I leave this place. I don't have to live in fear when I'm driving on the road. I don't have to live in fear because I know that I have eternal life. And because of that, death, where is your sting? As it says, the hymn maker. So in conclusion, why then are so many people being defeated in God's service? Because they are not using the armour of God. Now, I don't need to tell good, strong Baptists what the armour of God is. You already know that. But it's do we put the armour on every day? You know, there's no point going into battle without the armour. You know, we need the armour to go into battle. So we need to put on the armour. You see, because if we're not using the armour properly, how can we possibly be protected? These are the questions I want to ask this morning in closing. And, you know, there can be a challenge, there can be an encouragement, but it's up to you to take on board the Word of God this morning. It's for you to digest the Word of God this morning. Would you want those soldiers to stay at home? No, you want the soldiers to come to the parade ground being church. You want the soldiers to be in church, because that's where they get the drill, where they get the marching orders, where they get everything that needs. So we don't want soldiers that only come half-time or two-thirds time. Many churches today are suffering what I call submarine Christians. They go down in the week, and then they surface on a Sunday. Let's be soldiers who are prepared, and obviously you are because you're here. But it's encouraging those that used to come to church, those that you know that are a little bit wayward. We are our brother's keeper. Therefore, we have a responsibility. If you do this, God will do what he needs to do. The enemy is Satan. You and I are soldiers. We are surely lose not just our lives, but our souls eternal, unless we learn how to defeat Satan's forces. God has provided armor that is guaranteed to defeat Satan, but we must learn to use it. It comes in the manual. This is our manual. This book wasn't written for Christians, for the unsaved. This book was written for Christians. Yes, the unsaved get the benefit of it, but it's for us. It's our manual. And with using our manual, it can draw in other people to start using the manual. So this morning, the challenge is, are we wearing the armor of God? When we leave this place, are we fully clothed in the armor? When you go to work, are you fully clothed in the armor? Are you tapping in to the power? Am I tapping in to the power of God on a daily basis? If not, then we can always come to Scripture and say, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Because we need to be in that place of continual repentance, where we're saying, sorry, Lord, because the Bible tells us we're all sinners falling short of the glory of God. And so not one of us are perfect this morning, but every one of us could be walking in the power of God. May God have his blessing to his word.